Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An expert broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to the Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I am your host for this here episode number 95, and it's a two-woman show here today. I'm sitting with Catherine. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Yeah, so the night that we usually record on, Thursday nights, was a big event this week. Nintendo Switch announcement presentation, I guess you say, straight out of Japan. So it was actually pretty late for us here in Canada in the Montreal time zone. Yeah, it was at 11 p.m. for us because we are on Eastern time. And so we halted having our podcast recording this week until we got all the news about the Nintendo Switch. Instead of having the full four crew, it's just me and Kat here actually sitting on a Saturday evening talking about everything that is the Nintendo news. But first, to start it off, Kat, my dear, what games have you been gaming?
I'm actually on a gaming break.
Really?
Yes. With the holidays, and I was a bit sick. So Netflix has been my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
I watched John Wick, which I was pleasantly surprised.
That was a good movie.
It is a good action flick. I finished Dirk Gently's Holistic Agency.
Woo, you were busy.
Yeah, which I loved because it's based on Douglas Adams. So if you love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's off the wall like that. Loved it. And of course, the classic when you're feeling ill, just some goddamn Bob Ross painting some happy little trees.
Remember when that was on Twitch for like days straight? It was great.
Yeah, it's when they launched the creative stream. They did a marathon. They still do day-long marathons. But there's two seasons up on Netflix. I just remember when I was at home sick, like around 2 or 2:30, I would turn on PBS and watch Bob Ross and fall asleep to the sound of his voice as the fever took over.
Well, one thing about Netflix, though, you have to go check out our article on the site that actually wrote about documentaries, video game related documentaries you can check out on Netflix. I should update that one because there's been a lot more added. I think I wrote that like a year and a half ago or almost 2 years now. So some of the stuff might not be there, but there's definitely stuff like indie game still there.
Yeah, Video Game the Movie is there.
Yeah, that's true. That's new.
And there's a lot of YouTube properties. There's Video Game High School.
Oh my God, I love Video Game High School.
There was The Guild for a while. I don't know if it's still there. There's Red versus Blue.
Yes.
A classic, a cult classic. And then there was something else. I forget. I'll make a list. I should make a listicle.
Yes, let's do that. Shh. It's coming. Don't steal our ideas, okay? We said it here first. All right, let's talk about the Switch since that's top of mind. Oh, wait, I didn't say what I'm gaming.
Yeah, what are you playing, Leah?
Oh, my goodness. See, I really want to talk about the Switch. I really, really want to. Actually, I'm playing Super Mario RPG because the other day I put on YouTube. You know, conveniently, this is what we talked about last week in our podcast. But I put on YouTube, I put the Game Theorist on there, on the TV through the Xbox app. And I don't remember which one I was watching. I think it was something to do with like the Mario timeline. Yeah, I think it was the Mario timeline. And I saw Super Mario RPG, and I had never played that game. I'd seen my cousin play it umpteen times, but never myself. So I was like, you know what? Maybe that's on Virtual Console. So I went and looked, and there she was, $7 later, and Leah was playing that last Friday night starting off, and I pretty much haven't put it down since, except for a few stints at Halo multiplayer. But yeah, that actually works really well to flow into Nintendo Switch, because many things were announced, along with a date, and a price, and some games, and some things that you can see and play when Nintendo Switch launches. So Kat, I think we're going to break this up into different segments, so let's start right off with the things that we liked about the Nintendo Switch. So I'm throwing to you, girl.
Yeah, okay, so the Nintendo Switch is going to be launched March 3rd, 2017.
Woohoo!
For us in Canada, it's going to be $400, and it comes with the screen, which is like an iPad, the Joy-Cons.
The two, one right, one left.
Yeah, the wrist accessories, if you want to use them like Wiimotes, the AC adapter.
Yeah, Nintendo 3DS, yeah. New Nintendo 3DS.
The dock, an HDMI cable, and the what's the word? The one, the little thing that you, that looks like the dog that you put the Joy-Cons in to make
it. What do you call that thing? Hold on.
The single player
now
controller.
Now I want to know what it's called. I don't remember.
The dog.
We have the cheat sheet open that is Nintendo.
The Joy-Con charging grip.
There you go.
And of course the TV dock, if I haven't mentioned it, I forget. Anyway, so that's what's in the box and it comes with no games. Mm. So what I like, USB-C connectivity. There's a universal port on a Nintendo console, people.
That's pretty dope.
That is very dope. So wires is going to be less of an issue.
Finding the charge cable. Like, I don't know how, especially since the Joy-Cons are separate. Like, there's something to be said about having one versus multiple and being able to use the charge cables from other sets. Like, that Xbox cable that came with the Elite controller, that is the greatest cable I've ever used. And that is used for charging phones, charging power, extra power batteries, like charging the actual controller. Like, that thing's a shit.
Yeah, it's a micro USB. Everything I have at home is micro USB. My USB, my Bluetooth headset, my USB mouse recharges that way. I have an Android phone. So, and USB-C is going to be, if that's the USB of the future, everything's going to be USB-C in like 2-3 years. So good on Nintendo to actually following a tech trend instead of like being proprietary.
That's a hard word.
Yes, and English is my second language. Let's not hide it. Second thing I liked, the amount of accessories included
in the box.
Yeah, so you get your box theoretically, except for lack of a game, you can plug it in and play. And you can play two of you.
Well, hold up now. I guess it depends. No, I guess there's no demo games or anything like that preloaded on the system. There's definitely going to be certain apps that are there to run it.
Yeah.
But I guess we're not into the online connectivity, because then at some point, if you're paying for that service, you might have a game then at launch.
Yes. But I mean, think about it. Like, if you buy the Switch, and like then you buy, like, I don't know, 1-2 Switch or whatever other game you can buy at launch, you can play with your friend right away without buying a second controller.
I know, it's because you have one yet two controllers at the same time.
Yeah, and if you buy, like, let's say Just Dance, you'll have already the wrist holder accessory, so you don't throw your Joy-Con across the room.
What is with Nintendo and those wristbands?
Yeah,
they're like everywhere. Like on every single manette that they've controller that they've created in the past 10 years.
I'm pretty sure Wii Bowling and Wii Tennis broke a few TVs when it slipped out.
Oh yeah, no, I've told you the tale about my dad and that Christmas.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there you go. So you know people are like damaging things, breaking things, and breaking body parts with throwing controllers. But it's funny because I don't remember, didn't the Move controllers have the strap? I don't remember. I had them for so little time that I don't remember.
There were straps, but they're not add-ons. They're just like,
oh, it's built part to it.
Yeah, it's built part. Moving on, I really love the idea of the Switch, that it's an all-in-one handheld and home console. So it's like an iPad +++. I know a lot of people are concerned about performance issues, but I don't think Nintendo has never gone for performance, have never gone really for hardcore gaming. I think they're going for innovation, convenience, and also their major market is Asia, not us.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a big chunk, but when you think about it, Asia, and then I guess Europe would be the other big chunk.
Yeah. I mean, the reason the PS Vita didn't die as quickly as we thought it would, it was because of Japan and Asia.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So,
and you can see that fan service through the games that are currently being released on that.
Yes. And you can see a lot of launch titles for Switch were also that Japanese style. Like, there's the new Xenoblades, and there was that Dragon Ball Z fighter game.
Yeah,
we saw.
Was there a Fire Emblem game?
Yes, there's Fire Emblem Warriors.
We're going to talk more about games in a bit. But yeah, you can see that the gamut of games that they had there was very much in line with what Japanese gamers like to play.
Yeah. So I love the concept. I don't know if it's a proof of concept, but it's something to be said. Because, like, I mean, the iPhone and the iPad and the App Store, followed by Google Play and Android, they shook up the world of casual gaming. It, like, Nintendo was the king and the only the only dog in town for casual gaming.
Well, that's why Wii U was so huge. Or not the Wii U. The Wii. Yeah. That was why it was so huge, because that was before the mobile boom. Exactly. Oh my God, that's a thing now. It used to be the dot-com boom, and now it's the mobile boom.
Exactly. So, like, I mean, Nintendo has to do something different. They can't be Microsoft. They can't be Sony. Yet they can't be Apple and Google. So
I actually read an article. I don't remember what it was on now. I have a feeling it was Polygon, and someone wrote an editorial saying that Nintendo's new competitor is Apple. It's not Xbox. It's not PS4, because there's no way that game console is going to be able to perform that. But they are definitely the ones going after is Apple.
Yeah, it's on Polygon. It's actually their weekly opinion piece by one of the co-founder. It really puts that idea that they're not going after Sony or Microsoft, but really about Apple and mobile gaming and casual games while servicing the Nintendo fan base.
Yeah, because that's one thing. I mean, if you think about what's on the Apple system, you know, in the iOS store, and how much per capita garbage there is versus real games, and real games that are designed for the console. And I remember vaguely reading this because I've read so many news stories in the past few days. But if you look at the games that are big there that are actual, like, legit games, they're usually ports, right? Like all the Final Fantasies and that kind of stuff. Like, there's very few games that were designed from the ground up that are solid big titles on the Apple store.
Well, they're usually specific style, like runners, like Temple Runner.
Super Mario Run.
Which is basically a Temple Runner clone. I'm sorry, Nintendo, you're the clone on
that one. Well, I don't know. The more I play that game, the less I think of it as a forever runner, because it's more like a platforming game. Because of the way he's jumping around, the mechanics and all that kind of stuff, it feels much more like a platformer than an infinite runner.
I saw it as Super Meat Boy and Temple Runner with a Nintendo skin.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I like that. Man, Super Meat Boy. Yeah. Oh, I love that game.
Check it out. It's a great indie game. Oh, yeah, and a lot of the good games on mobile are usually puzzles. Like, if you haven't played The Room, I love that game.
Yeah, or games that you can easily drop and pick back up again. That's my big question about the Switch too. When I play my 3DS, what I love is I close my 3DS and it can pretty much just like live like that for 3 days, and I can pick it up and it's like I didn't save. I don't have to worry about a save point or anything like that. Is the Switch going to be able to do that? You know, because you don't have that clamshell design. Can you just like put it on like sleep?
I hope so. Yeah, if they're going to go for the handheld, they're going to find some kind of mechanic.
Yeah, because they're going to have to be something like, say, you're like playing this on the bus or the metro. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be able to put it in like pause mode with the screen off so that you can like throw it in your bag for 2 seconds, get off the metro, get where you're going, and start it up again enough to save. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's hope about that. Moving on, about the tabletop mode. That I know a lot of people are like, but think about it. Just prop it up, grab half a Joy-Con, and you can then and there play a co-op game with your friend.
Hold up for a second. Is both of them together called a Joy-Con, or is it two Joy-Cons?
They're two Joy-Cons. During the presentation, they referred to them as the Joy-Con controllers.
Okay, so each one of them is one individual Joy-Con, but you're never going to be able to buy just the right one or just the left one,
yes,
right?
Yes, they're for sale. They're sold separately. They're sold together or separately.
So I can buy just one. That's weird.
So you lose a Joy-Con.
Oh my God, you can buy just left or right.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's not as cost effective as buying two.
Obviously. But if at least that's good. If you lose one, you're not effed.
Exactly.
Because I can imagine that being a problem at some point.
Yes, they were smart about that. And also, like, wear and tear.
Like,
my boyfriend goes through controllers like crazy compared to me. So if let's say we get a Switch, and he always grabs one of the two Joy-Cons when we play together,
yeah,
he might break the right one quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that.
Yeah, or kids, you know, drop it in a glass of juice.
You better be careful. You got little nieces and nephews downstairs that might come up and start trying to play. You might end up with your Joy-Con in a glass of juice before it's all said.
Oh, they're going to play on the Wii U. They're not touching the Switch.
Oh, there you go. They get to play the old console.
I get to play Mario 8 Deluxe. They get to play Mario 8.
Okay.
It's got the DLC. They'll be happy.
There you go.
On to my next point, actually, which is the versatility of the Joy-Cons when you think about it. It can be together. They can be a regular controller. They can be You can play with both of them in your hands and just kind of like dual wield like the Move controllers, or you can have just one half and your friend has the other half and it's a full-on controller, and it can be a Move enable controller just like it can be a regular controller where you press just on the buttons. Like, this is a very versatile piece of hardware,
and it's not very big.
And it looks really comfortable. I don't know, like, we have tiny hands. It's made by Japanese people with tiny hands. I don't know about like my your husband and my boyfriend that have the hand that can cover my whole hand and squash a watermelon. They might be like, this shit is tiny.
Yeah, that'll be entertaining to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel you there. They're definitely versatile, and it's definitely thinking outside the box, but then also thinking smartly about like adaptability, because it's not like you're buying a controller. Like right now, if I play my Wii U, I barely ever pull out the other controllers unless I've got many people around. I will always go to play with the gamepad, even if I'm not even looking at the gamepad. I will always go to that layout. And this way, you have one controller that does multiple things, because you're never ever going to feel bad about buying an extra one, because you know it can be used many different ways. You're never going to be like, oh, well, I'm only going to play this, use this controller for one method of input. Right?
Yeah.
It's smart. It's smart, Nintendo.
I'm very impressed. The only thing, it's like, if you want to play four people, then it's an extra $100 to get the double choice.
But think about it. If you want to play four people, right? But if you want to play four people on any other system, you need to buy two separate controllers. So
at $60 a pop, yeah.
Yeah. That's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's $50. You're saving 10.
Yep.
And not bad.
My last point is the return of third-party games to the Nintendo ecosystem.
Whoop, whoop.
In a big way.
Whoop.
I think for the Wii U, there's only been, like, mostly Ubisoft that does, like, Just Dance. They did Assassin's Creed 3. They haven't done since.
WB did that version of Arkham.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of support at the launch of the Wii U. There was Assassin's Creed 3.
They tried.
There was the Arkham port.
Yep.
And they did a Splinter Cell. There was Rayman.
Yeah, but okay. So Ubisoft and WB with one game.
Yeah, and then there's Sega, but I think Sega, aren't they like part of Nintendo now?
No, but it's still not.
They're
like
terrible games. I'm sorry, Sony, Sega. Your last Sonic games have been questionable, very questionable.
But even Nintendo, I mean,
yeah.
The lineup of stuff that came out last year for the Wii U was not good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Star Fox Zero.
But I mean, also, like, a big staple in Nintendo was, like, Square Enix, Squaresoft at the time, and Final Fantasy.
Right.
That hasn't been in the Nintendo ecosystem since what?
Well, 3DS, not their TV system, no. Right?
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And even the 3DS, they were doing... another kind of IP. They were doing like Bravely Second or old game, like older Final Fantasy ports. They haven't done like, you know, Final Fantasy 15, which is the one of the biggest release in Final Fantasy in years, is nowhere near the Nintendo ecosystem, but with the Switch it could be there.
That's true.
And like Skyrim,
oh my goodness,
Bethesda is going to be on a Nintendo system.
Okay, I have not played Skyrim yet.
You need to.
I know. Maybe now is the time.
You know what we should do?
What should we do?
Is we should link our Steam libraries.
Oh.
And then you can play my Skyrim when I'm not online.
Yeah, but now what I should do, though, is play there. And then have you play there on the Switch. And then we can give a comparison. Because I'll be the noob for Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've conveniently stayed away from that game. And then you'll be the seasoned veteran.
Yes.
There we go. Because you are a seasoned veteran at the game.
I have played 200 hours.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe more.
Oh, maybe grizzled veteran.
I played 186 on the original release, and I think I've put 50 in the special edition.
Holy snaps, girl.
What? I like the game, okay?
That's okay. No, like game count for like certain games, I'm like, really? I feel like I've played 50 hours of this, and I've played two. But then there's games like Pokemon where like you get through so much and you're like, holy shit, 30 hours already. Yeah. Like, yeah,
Let's move in into the poop.
So yeah, there's definitely some things that we didn't like about the Switch, and there's been some debate in our Discord channel too about that.
Yeah, the first thing, game cartridge. Why?
They have to put something on a shelf, so of course they got to give cartridges.
As long as it's not like cartridges like we've known with the Game Boy or the 3DS, where the game save is on the cartridge, and then you can't have multiple game saves like in Pokemon and shit.
I know,
like
that's a pain in the ass.
If they're gonna have cartridges, it can't be locked. And also, it's only 32 gigabytes of storage within the Switch, expandable with micro SDs.
You know what? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's not terrible.
No, but it does limit how much you're going to have.
Originally.
Yeah. It does limit how much you're going to be able to connect. I mean, you can't connect to an external hardware and have 1 terabyte.
But trust me, imagine if you had put, like, if they had baked in more HD space, how expensive that would have been versus buying micro SD cards. Like, they're super cheap now. So I wish I could do that in my phone.
That's what you get for having an Apple.
I know.
I have a 64 gigabyte micro SD.
Forever storage is full. Storage is full. But I mean, you could do the same thing on the PlayStation and the Xbox. On the Xbox, you can plug in an hard drive, and PlayStation, many people out there have tutorials on how to change the hard drive size or change your hard drive in general. But you know what? Like, yeah, 32 gigs, whatever, is the minimum. At least you start off with something, and at least the first day you get it, you can play a game. I heard that Breath of the Wild is half of that space in order to play that game.
Skyrim is 22 gigabytes.
Okay, so that's going to be a fair chunk. So yeah, you're definitely going to want to go pick up a micro USB or micro SD card. Amazon.
Or buy the cartridge and hope that the game runs off the cartridge.
Oh yeah, because that's... Who was I explaining to that to the other day? Oh my God, I don't even remember. Having that discussion, being like, I like physical media, then I have everything. I'm like, but you don't understand. Your hard drive still gets full because the game has to install on your hard drive on an Xbox or PS4 for it to run properly. If not, it would chug. So essentially, it's just like an unlocking key.
Yeah. And then patches, man.
Patches.
Like, the strength of Nintendo was the lack of patches, which meant that you could get a cartridge on your 3DS and it would run properly. Is that going to be on the Switch when you have Bethesda games and Ubisoft games?
Skyrim is there. Do you think it's going to be everything that's in the other ones? And don't you think they've had enough time now to patch everything to do with that game so that when it hits the Nintendo system, they won't need to do that?
The Skyrim Special Edition did not fix bugs that were in the original release.
Ew.
Yes. Welcome to Bethesda game. But I mean, Ubisoft is, they're kings of just post-release patches.
Day one patch, please download before reviewing.
Oh, they have like 5 day one patches. So that's why I'm worried about the cartridge. I'm worried about the space. Will I be able to keep my save games on the hard drive and delete the game data like we do for our other console, where you can uninstall the game but keep the save file, so if ever you want to reinstall it?
We hope.
Or is there going to be cloud storage?
Something they could do.
The Steam Cloud. I mean, the Steam Cloud storage is the bomb.
PlayStation has the same thing, right? Yes. So that your save files get stored to the cloud. That's fucking dope. I love that.
Yeah, so those are my, not necessarily what I don't like, but my doubts, which it could turn into something I like. Depends how they do it. A big, big, big issue, I think, is the fact that they said that the battery life could last from 2.5 hours to 6 hours, depending on the game.
Whew.
That's not a lot.
No.
Compared, like, to the 3DS, which that thing lasts, like, fucking forever.
A flight from Montreal to Newfoundland, direct, is 3 hours. If I was going to be playing a game that had a lot of battery power, I'd be in trouble.
You would have to, like, plug it in.
That's gonna be the new Nintendo theme song. They should go buy that off the Glade people.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, like, I have a laptop.
Yeah,
like a low grade gaming laptop, and if I play Stardew Valley on it without the battery plugged in, I can play for 4 hours. But that powers like a whole machine, and I have the Xbox controller plugged in.
Ooh.
So I mean, if you play Breath of the Wild or Skyrim, that's the 2-hour mark. That's going to drain your Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. The question is too, I guess, something that I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody's already written about it, has thought about it. And because people, journalists have had hands on. Our hands on is not until the 28th of January. But can you plug in the switch itself without being plugged into the dock?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The switch has the USB-C connector. Mm-hmm. So you can just plug it in with the AC adapter and charge it. Or you grab your AC adapter, you plug it in to the dock. And then when you drop the switch, it connects via the USB-C at the bottom.
Okay. Now, the USB-C connector, I assume you can disconnect it from the power thing. So, like, in the airplanes, right, they often now have the screens. And then to the left, they have little USB ports where you can plug in your devices if you need be, or, like, your iPhone and that kind of stuff. It's going to be able to connect to that? I mean, that's a USB.
Yeah, I don't know. The wire that I saw in the photos seemed like just a wire, like with a USB-C, and then it was directly connected to a AC adapter. It didn't seem like to be like an iPad where you can disconnect and you have a USB wire.
I will look out for that.
So you might have to buy a USB-C to USB wire.
Oh.
Second point.
Yes.
Other than the battery being shitty, as Nintendo likes to do, except for the 3DS, that battery's bomb. The price of accessory compared to Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we originally got the prices of stuff, I mean, we got the console price the day of, and then Nintendo updated their website. And of course, you know, first time when you start hearing the news, you hear the prices in USD. And you're like, all right. But then you realize that everything needs to be jacked up because we're in Canada. And the prices in Canada, not that good.
No, and especially we're in Quebec, so we get a lot of taxes, plus the eco tax on top of our 15% tax. So, like, it's so a pair of Joy-Con is $100, but we're going to pay like $120. They started an eco tax to pay for all the recycling facilities that it takes to recycle all of our electronics that are full of heavy metals and poisons.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea. I mean, I don't mind throwing in the extra, and it's usually not that much, isn't it? Like, 2% is like nothing, like $2 on a $200 or a $100 object. So I'm not for the fact that we recycle, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, no, my problem is the 15% tax. That's everything here is taxed 15%.
Yeah, that's true.
When they lowered the GST, the province of Quebec were like, we're just going to take that extra 1% and slap it on our tax. So nothing is cheaper for you, motherfuckers.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, but pro tip, if you buy refurbished, you don't pay the eco tax.
Ah, because it's already recycled. There you go, Quebecers. Pro tip.
Oh, Kijiji your shit.
Well, Kijiji, you don't pay any tax. Anyways.
Yeah, so basically, a pair of Joy-Con is $100. When you think about it, it's two controllers for $100. Sounds good, but at the same time, you need two Joy-Cons at all times to play alone.
At least.
Compared to Xbox One and PlayStation 4, which are around the $60 mark, and during Black Friday and Boxing Day, you can easily get them for $35 or $40.
Now, I imagine now this time, you know, November 2017, they will have a reduced price on that too. They'll probably have a bundle where you can buy a Switch plus an extra set of Joy-Cons plus.
Yeah, eventually there's going to be like, I'm okay with the launch price of $400 because that's the price of a console on launch. But I think because they're coming in much later into the Xbox and PlayStation cycle, that they're going to have to be very quick with a bundle. So Mario Odyssey is coming holiday season 2017. I'm expecting for them to launch a bundle with that game.
Yeah, I can see that. Totally gonna happen. So, I'm just looking up at the dock now because the one that I heard was a dock. I'm going to the US site because the price is not on the Canadian site. So what I was reading, because I was reading a bunch of different articles, of course, and the dock is the thing that I think is kind of cool to be able to have. Like, I'd love to have a dock set up in my living room where I play with my husband if I want to sit on the couch, and then when I want to stream, I would have a dock in the back room where the TV is and the computer and all that jazz. But the dock's supposed to be fairly expensive too, like $90.
I think it's $90 US, but at least the dock is very small, so it's
Look, $89.99 US. Ouch.
So it's going to be about $100 a pop Canadian. But if you think about it, the dock is fairly small. It's the size of the tablet, so it's going to be easy for you to just disconnect the HDMI and then connect to whatever HDMI you have.
Yeah,
here.
That's true. Just disconnect HDMI. It's just, you know what's annoying? You know what's annoying though is the power. Because like the power's in the back, so I'd have to have the power cable in the front.
But I mean, it's a USB-C. You can probably get a second.
Hopefully.
Yeah, a secondhand thing. Just check whatever voltage and the difference and whatever.
Fingers crossed I can do that. Because, yeah, that would make my life a lot easier. Because it's so annoying. Right now, I'm lucky that I have an Xbox in both spaces. But, like, the PlayStation or the Wii U, if I want to move it from the living room to stream in the back, it's such a project.
But when you think about it, the price of accessories is expensive, but it's the most modular console there is.
That's true.
Like, Simon, his PlayStation died. RIP PS4. Like, he has to buy a console. If your dock fucks up, you buy a dock. Buy another $400 bundle.
That's true.
So, not keen on the price of accessories, but at the same time, they're probably thinking about that, how people are going to buy extra pieces one by one. And it's the only console that can do that.
That's true. Yeah, I feel you there. The other thing I guess we can both say I'm not a big fan of is the online services. I'm not upset with it. I mean, it sucks that I'm going to have another online platform that I have to pay for. Like, RIP credit card. I mean, we already have to pay for the PlayStation Plus and the Xbox Live. But now Nintendo's going to have their version. And, like, yeah, you have to pay. I don't know how much it's going to cost. But it's going to be free for the first few months of the life of the console. But then you'll have to pay afterwards. They are going to be including a free game system. The PlayStation Plus and the Xbox Live or Games with Gold. But the thing is it's not going to be like you own that game for the life of you paying for PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live. If you buy the Nintendo online services, you will get that game for just 1 month for free.
Yeah, they're basically giving you a free 30-day rental instead of giving you a free game as long as you pay per month.
And like when they start that service is going to be free, but like what are they going to have there? Because all they really have is virtual console. Like they're going to have to take some kind of game like maybe Yoshi's Woolly World or something and port it to be on one screen so that can play it. Ooh, or maybe like that Donkey Kong Freeze ones that didn't use the bottom screen at all anyway, Tropical Freeze. But they're going to have to put something there because they're not going to put any of the launch titles on to start as the free game. That would be weird, unless it was like the 1-2 Switch game.
It might be the 1-2 Switch game, so that way people have a free demo. Or they can do like PlayStation did, and they went with a newly released indie game. It was Contrast.
Contrast was there, and Resogun, and I still play Resogun.
Yeah,
game's so good.
Contrast is a hell of a game. It's a really good game. Mm. Highly recommend it. You can finish it in one weekend. That being said, yeah, they're gonna have to do that, and I'm not sold on not keeping the games, because when you think about it, on PlayStation and Games with Gold, yeah, you have to keep paying the subscription to keep playing the games, but as soon as you play an Inkling online, it's worth it for you to keep paying per month. And I mean, we're bloggers, we're podcasters, whatever, we have all the systems. Most people just have the one system and have to pay for that. So if you get the Switch to play Splatoon, you're going to pay per month anyway. Just like if you get the Xbox and you want to play Halo with your friends, you're going to play anyway. So like the free games is just like that
bonus.
That bonus. But I think Nintendo, you're not doing as good as your competitors. You got to think about that, I think.
I also read real quickly that voice chat is coming, but it's going to be a mobile thing.
There's going to be a lot of mobile apps that you connect to your Switch. There's going to, the voice chat one, parental controls, and there was another one. I forget.
I think that pretty much wraps it up for things that we don't like. Don't you think?
Yep.
I mean, except for the price. I mean, $399 in Canada is kind of steep.
It's kind of steep, but it's a console launch.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, it's like buying two consoles in one. Because it's mobile.
It is. And I mean, I paid $500 for my PS4. It came with no game and one controller.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's talk about the games. So we got the list of all the games that are going to be out when the Switch comes at launch. This does not include, obviously, the Mario game, because that comes out in the holiday. So you're going to get 1-2 Switch, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Just Dance 2017, Has Been Heroes, Snipper Clips, Super Bomberman R, Disgaea 5 Complete, Puyo Puyo Tetris, Rayman Legends, Steep, Skylanders Imaginators, and I Am Setsuna. You know what I see there? 1, 2, 3 Ubisoft games.
I also see a lot of reissues.
Yeah.
Just Dance, well, it's out now. Disgaea 5.
Well, I mean, do you count
Rayman
Just Dance?
Legends?
Do you call Just Dance as like a recycle? Because it's not like it's Just Dance 2016. It's 17. It's still now. Like,
no,
it's still the game, but like the system's not out.
It's a previously released game that's being ported. That's Just Dance 2017. Is it out, Just Dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a pre-release game that's been... Disgaea 5 Complete is...
Disgaea?
Yeah, it's a... Rayman Legends been out forever.
Steep.
Steep.
But I mean, this
Skylander
is the thing, though.
Imaginators. But, I Am Setsuna, that's been on Steam forever.
But Rayman Legends, though, like that, yeah, I can understand it. It's old. But Steep and Just Dance 2017, like Steep just came out beginning of December, so like I don't really count that as like reporting, because like technically all versions of Steep are port except for the one that it was designed for originally, right? Mm. So like that, not so bad. Disgaea and Rayman and I Am Setsuna, straight up.
Super Bomberman.
That's a
Man
new
R.
game. That's a new game.
That's a new game.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I see a lot of old games or games that you may already own.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's think like.
So the games that we got to see in the video that are not listed here, these are the launch games. Like we didn't, the Xenoblade ones, the Fire Emblem ones not here, the Mario Kart. Why isn't Mario Kart going to be there at launch? That doesn't make sense.
Especially since it's a reissue. It's just, they just took Mario Kart 8 and fixed the multiplayer that was shitty as fuck.
Maybe that's coming out like 2 months later.
Yeah, it's coming out later. But I mean, I'm not. If I get the Switch, I'm not going to rebuy Mario Kart 8. We've been playing the fuck out of it on the Wii U.
Unless there's like a legit reason for it. Like maybe there's new stuff in it.
If there's a new DLC, but only if my DLC purchase ports over.
Yeah, that's a good question. That brings something up when it comes to games.
Yeah, because I've already spent the $15 to get the extra cups.
Well, I just spent $7 to buy Super Mario RPG, which kind of flows us into the next topic, is stuff we don't know. So right off the bat, virtual console, don't really know. Will your games transfer over? Don't really know.
Because virtual console, that's one of the biggest feature that Nintendo has on the 3DS and the Wii U.
If they didn't, like, it seems like such a misstep if they didn't, because if they did, they instantly have the largest number of launch titles, period.
Yeah, and it's a great library. You get great classic that you played as a kid that you can replay if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, like, I mean, there's Metroid on the 3DS for a couple of bucks.
Like, I'm not going to cry if my, you know, the stuff that I bought on Virtual Console doesn't transfer over. Because, like, I understand it costs money to port that kind of stuff, right? So I'm not... I'll be sad. It's not, but I'm not going to cry because I understand. But at the same time, imagine how easy it would be to hook gamers who have had previous consoles to be like, yo, you want to upgrade because all your shit's going to transfer instantly. So not only are you going to have these 12 games at launch, you will also have the rest that's in your library virtual console wise.
Yeah, no, I think it would be a good move for them to find a way to do that, because a lot of the virtual console games you played with a gamepad or you played with the Wiimote as a regular controller.
Something to the virtual console games for the Wii, I think this might actually bring back some of the Wii virtual console games, because I have a really hard time. I always wanted to go back into Super Mario Galaxy, but then I'll plug it into the Wii and it looks like boop. The thing is if you put it on that small screen, it's not going to look like poop, or at least you won't notice it the same.
You can play Super Mario Galaxy on your Wii U.
I know you can, but it's not, it's still 4x3. It's still not HD graphics. It's just it's still virtual console.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a remaster. It's just compatibility.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like the smaller screen's going to be much more forgiving, I think, than me putting it up on my 65 inch TV.
Exactly. Yeah, I get that.
Totally. So that's something we don't know. Obviously we talked about the battery life, though. That's an unknown yet. Is there anything else that we don't know right off the bat?
I saw in the video that they would support 4-player for Mario Kart, but I don't know if it's local or if it's online.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen that yet.
No, there was a treehouse and they were playing 4. So I guess, yeah.
I guess we're still curious about the app and how that connects and how the actual process is going to work. Like, are you going to have a friend code for every single game? Or are you going to make a profile? Like, am I going to have a gamer tag? A Nintendo gamer tag?
Probably Nintendo ID. It's the same for all the consoles.
That's true. That's true. But I may hope it's a lot easier to keep track of who's playing what and all that kind of stuff. Achievements?
Achievements, yeah. Ooh. Achievements and stats and things like that. Because that's what I like about PlayStation and Xbox. When you add a friend, you can kind of like go sneak and see what they've been playing and how many hours. Like if you add me on Steam, you'll see the 200 hours in Stardew Valley.
I'm always like anxious about those stats. I like to know them myself. I don't like to publicize them. Like Allie talked about last week when she was playing Overcooked and she had like, you know, so many, she had get gamer score for starting the game in order, she had to finish it all 100% to get the rest of it so her thing wouldn't be uneven. Like, I can see her anxiety there because I hate people looking at my stats and I think they judge me. But then I'm like, but wait, I play on 3 different consoles.
Yeah, no, for us, the stats are not great because I play on PC. I have an Xbox One, a PlayStation 4, a Wii U, a 3DS. You also have the Vita.
I have the Vita. I have a Mac. I have a PC. Like, there's 2 different Xboxes, so God only knows which ID I'm logged in on sometimes, because sometimes I forget and I'll be on Mike's or Mike will be on mine.
Because there's also the part where we play for fun and the part we play for blogging. So, you know, it's not the same. So I'm not anxious about it when people say like, yeah, you're haven't logged into your Xbox for a month. I'm like, yeah, that's because I'm playing The Last Guardian on my PlayStation 4 and I'm playing Stardew Valley on my PC. So I'll get back into Forza Horizon later. But honestly, people, I cannot reiterate this. You do not need all the consoles.
No.
You need a Nintendo console, like a 3DS or something, to get your Japanese fix, and then Xbox or PlayStation 4.
And there, it's really the debate between what you like to play and where your friends are.
Exactly. We've had that conversation before. Yes. That's just, we're not bragging.
That's life for us.
That's life for us as podcasters and bloggers, and we've been doing this for 5 years, so we've accumulated consoles and games. You as a person do not need all that shit. I haven't touched my Xbox in months.
It happens. It really does happen. Now, mind you, I've been playing my Xbox like crazy, my poor PlayStation, except for Watch Dogs. But then I haven't touched it in a while besides I turn it on and I think Mike plays basketball and stuff on there. Anyways, I guess to wrap up, final thoughts on the Switch. Catherine, if you were to go and put your hard-earned cash down on a pre-order or to buy it on launch day, would you do it?
No.
No? And no. Why?
Breath of the Wild is coming to the Wii U. I'll play it on the Wii U. I don't think I need the Switch for it. I might do it later once the hype died down. And I'm pretty sure if I wait long enough, there'll be a bundle. I'm seeing this as an average person, but I think just because of Girls on Games, we might have to pre-order. We're gonna need a Switch somewhere.
Well, you're lucky because I'm the type of person who will buy one right off the bat. I mean, I bought a Vita when it launched. So, you know, I'm just a geek like that. There's certain things that I'm ready to jump on first editions on right away. I'm the same with phones. When I need a new phone, obviously you have to be smart enough with your cash and all that kind of stuff. We don't have epic amounts of money, but like a new thing comes out. If I've got my mindset, I'm buying a new phone, I get the new one on launch.
Yeah, I do the same for phones because I only change them every 3 years. I do tough my phones really long time. But I mean, I'm saying this like I don't think the Switch is worth for pre-order. But then again, as soon as we get close to March, I'm going to break down and I'm going to pre-order Breath of the Wild on the Switch. Look at me. I'm just going to be like, fuck it.
Well, the thing is that I've actually been playing my Wii U like the Switch for the past like week or so, and I think that's what really sold me on it, because I'm playing Super Mario RPG and I was streaming it, so I had everything set up in the computer room, and then I decided, oh shit, I want to go watch something and play Super Mario RPG because I want to grind, right, and just level grind so that, you know, it's not a pain in the ass having to do bosses over and over again. and I went and picked up the game pad and walked out into my kitchen, which is like 5 feet away, and the game pad went, "You are too far from the Wii U console. I am 5 feet from it." I was like, "What the fuck?" So I took the console without the HDMI cable, just the power adapter, no sensor, just the power bar and the console and the gamepad, went out in the living room, laid the console down, plugged in the power and turned on the gamepad, and that's how I've been playing it, strictly through the gamepad.
Yeah, that's smart when you think about it, and the Switch is going to be the easiest thing for that.
Yeah, that's how I've been playing it, and it's so much better, because like when I was playing Pokemon Moon, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm doing everything multitasking. If I'm playing a game, I'm in the computer room, I'm watching something on YouTube or one of our streamers or another streamer or something at the same time. I'm constantly multitasking. It's probably to my detriment because I think I've become like attention deficit disorder lately, because I'm so scatterbrained, like I can't concentrate on one thing, and I've noticed it, which is weird. But anyway, the fact that I want to be able to, especially with big RPGs and that kind of stuff, be able to grind and watch something at the same time or be in the living room and not have the TV taken over for my husband and that kind of stuff, like that's gold to me, gold. And the fact that I'll be able to do that with the Breath of the Wild, like I can play it at home on the big screen, leave for work, I have an hour lunch break where I pretty much just watch YouTube videos, be able to continue for an hour, turn it off, come home, start up again. There you go. I'm sold right away. So yeah, I'll be buying the thing.
I'm saying I'm not, but I will. Look at me.
Who are we kidding? All right. That's pretty much all we got to say about the Switch. I'm sure more news is coming out. And of course, we will be talking about it on this podcast as it goes. Also, for those of you who are really into it, we have a Discord channel, and Switch has been the topic of conversation for the past 3 days. When did it come? Friday or Saturday? Yeah, okay, 2 days, because it came out Thursday. Well, no, we were talking about it on Thursday too, with all the like guessing and predictions and stuff. So yeah, you should really join our Discord channel. It's discord.me/girlsongames. We also have a link to it on girlsongames.ca and on Twitter and Facebook. We'll also do some conversations on Twitter and Facebook, but if you have any comments you want to let us know, of course you can always comment in those social media platforms or on the page that this podcast will host in the website. So yeah, check that out. Before we let you all go for this podcast and close out the show, Kat, what's going on girlsongames.ca?
Well, we're working on a brand new feature called Art Examination by our very own streamer, Miss Bianca Dunk. She hosts this series on her YouTube, but we'll be making a best of on girlsongames.ca. So she examines the arts of video game. So art nerds, video game nerds, you're going to love this. We're also hosting a contest for the brand new arcade block, which have been switched into two. There's E for Everyone and M for Mature. And we're giving away the brand spanking new M for Mature box. So if you're 18 plus and want to get a box of video game swag from Violent Games, just go to girlsongames.ca and enter.
Yeah, so this is for the January box, the brand new one, brand spanking new.
Exactly.
It's going to be awesome. And we've got lots of stuff from last year, right?
Yeah, if you haven't yet, check out our 2016 wrap-ups. We have our Games of the Year 2016. So if you're looking for games that are maybe discounted and you haven't played yet, but you should play, like Doom or Forza Horizon 3 or Stardew Valley, things like that, check that out. There's also our disappointment and surprises of 2016, and then you can check that out and figure out what will happen in 2017 from that. There's a lot of trends that will carry over. And if ever you're looking into a game or a game accessory, there's a good chance we've already reviewed it, so use that search feature at the top of the website. Just put what you're looking for. We've unboxed many boxes and we've played many games.
Thanks, Kat. Stream team wise, I don't really remember what's going on. And Simon's not here. So check out Twitter. Check out our stream, twitch.tv/girlsongames. It's all there. And we always tweet when someone's coming up. So that's pretty cool. Extra special thank you to Scarlet Cosplay, who has been guest streaming for us. She played some Tomb Raider last week. And I'm really looking forward to her playing some more this week. I hope she does that. If not, whatever she plays is lots of fun. Special thanks to our hosting, Fun.io. They're awesome, and they have wicked VPS hosting. So if you're looking to build a website, go check them out. Before I let everybody go, Kat, how can people track you down on social media?
I am CSDESBIENS on Instagram, Twitter. It's also my Nintendo ID and gamer tags for Xbox, PSN, and Steam. You want to check out my Instagram because my boss has been bringing his puppy to work and I've been taking photos of the puppy.
So cute.
And sunsets and flowers like usual because I'm a basic bitch.
Me, I'm Leah Jewer on most social media. Xbox Live gamer tag is GOG Leah. Just change that. And PlayStation is AYU5656. Steam, I don't even remember. I use it so rarely, like to look at my gamer tag to give it to somebody, that I don't even think about it.
If you're not enough on it, don't give it out. Don't look for her on Steam. She's not there.
Don't look for me on Steam. But of course, you want to know about Girls on Games. So of course, we're on Twitter, The Girls on Games. We're on Instagram, Girls on Games. Facebook, The Girls on Games. And, you know, Discord. Discord.me/Girls on Games. But of course, if you ever forget, you can just go to girlsongames.ca to find that information out, because everything is there. Trust me. All right. Thanks again, Kat, for hanging out. Sorry this is like a late night thing on a Saturday when we're usually playing games now, not talking games.
Yeah, sometimes you need some FaceTime.
That's true. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll be talking to you next week. Have a great one. See you later.
Bye.